A History of Central Banking and the Enslavement of Mankind by Stephen Mitford Goodson. Quote, "And you will never understand American history or the history of the Occident during the past 2,000 years unless you look at one or two problems, namely Sheenies and usury. One or the other, or both. I should say both." Ezra Pound. Forward. This book is bound to be controversial and engender strong reactions, and I do not endorse all of the viewpoints expressed therein. Why would a seemingly arid subject matter such as the history of central banking and of the monetary system give rise to such strong reactions? One must wonder why some will attach to this book the stigma of heresy and argue that Stephen Goodson has gone beyond the parameters of acceptable historical debate. Goodson has the credentials and track record to make a credible presentation of a subject matter which he has researched for decades and which he has lived personally as a non-executive director of the South African Reserve Bank. I do not have the expertise to say whether Goodson's findings are accurate, but I do know that the raw nerves he touches are on account of central banking and the monetary system created thereunder being at the core of the persistent, profound, and inhumane differences in wealth distribution within any given country and among countries. For this reason, for several years my party and I have argued that South Africa should reform its central banking and monetary system, even if that means placing our country out of step with iniquitous world standards. Books on economics and banking are generally viewed as being abstruse, whose readers are confined mainly to academia and the business world. In this case, we have a notable exception. This work provides not only a broad sweep of the history of economics over almost three millennia, but insights into how the problems of usury have been confounding and enslaving mankind since its civilized existence first began. It may shock some to realize that central banks throughout the world, including our own South African Reserve Bank, do not serve our own best interests, and are in fact in league with private banks. This not only undermines our sovereignty, but deprives us of the means of having publicly issued debt-free money which belongs to the people as its sovereign debt and interest-free means of exchange. Instead, in our country, as in other countries, we use private money produced out of debt by the private banking system. Shifting from banknotes to government notes would provide our people with a decent life which is blessed, prosperous, and sustainable. But such a simple reform would be a real revolution, more difficult to bring about than any other reform or social change imaginable. Although South Africa gained its freedom in 1994, in all its outward manifestations, inwardly, with the exception of a small minority of black and white entrepreneurs, the general population has neither benefited nor thrived, and moreover has not realized its latent potential, mainly because of the defects in the monetary system. If we are to achieve real freedom, it is imperative that monetary reform be pursued with the same vigor and intensity as was displayed towards political reform during the struggle years. But that requires understanding the complex issues of how money is created, whom it belongs to, and whose interests it serves. In this book, Goodson has not only sketched numerous successes of previous states rather than private banking systems, but has also provided us with a blueprint which may address many of our entrenched social problems, such as low economic growth, high unemployment, and declining services. Albeit decidedly controversial, this is a book which thinking South Africans should read as an inspiration for political action. In his address before the American Newspaper Publishers Association on the 27th of April, 1961, President John F. Kennedy famously stated, quote, "Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. Unquote. Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, MP, President of the Inkatha Freedom Party, Republic of South Africa. Now the introduction. History is the most crucial subject of any educational system, superseding science and the humanities in importance. Within its fabric, it holds the culture, traditions, beliefs, ethos, and raison d'etre necessary for the continued existence of any people. If history is compromised by falsifications and omissions which are frequently imposed by outsiders, then that civilization will decay and finally collapse, as may be observed in the slow disintegration of Western civilization since 1945. George Orwell expressed a similar sentiment in 1984, that is the book 1984, when he wrote, quote, "The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of history," unquote. Winston Churchill once made the observation that the further one goes back into history, the clearer the picture becomes. By employing this technique, the author is hopeful that any doubts which readers may have concerning his analysis and exegesis of modern historical events will be assuaged, if not entirely eliminated. For any nation slash state slash society slash community to have full sovereignty and independence in its affairs, absolute control over the means it employs to exchange goods and services must reside with the organs which represent the people and must not be delegated to private individuals. Throughout recorded history, periods of state control of the money supply have been synonymous with eras of prosperity, peace, cultural enrichment, full employment, and zero inflation. However, when private bankers usurp control of the money creation process, the inevitable results are recurring cycles of prosperity and poverty, unemployment, embedded inflation, and an enormous and ever-increasing transfer of wealth and political power to this tiny clique who control this exploitative monetary system. Whenever these private and central bankers have been opposed in the past by nations seeking restoration of an honest money system, these parasitic bankers have invariably invoked a quote-unquote patriotic war in order to defeat the much-maligned quote-unquote enemy. This has been a feature of almost all wars during the past 300-plus years. This book provides insights as to how private bankers since ancient times have abused monetary systems, whether they are based on coin, banknotes, check, or electronic money, by creating the money out of nothing as an interest-bearing debt in order to arrogate supreme power to themselves. It also provides a record, both ancient and modern, of societies and civilizations which have flourished in an environment from the burden of usury. Free from the burden of usury. The solution is simple and self-evident. If we wish to obtain our liberation and sovereignty from the enslavement imposed by the private bankers, we must dismantle their fractional reserve system of banking and supporting central banks, or we ourselves shall be destroyed and consigned to oblivion. Stephen Mitford Goodson.